listening to X-Ray FM on KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Radio is yours.
Temperature rise. I only want this. This hallelujah. Friday, happy Tuesday, by the way, Friday, May 1st, working Americans are going to try to shut this country down. This is going to be interesting. May Day Strong is the name of the coalition. They've organized over 3,000 protests in all 50 states, demanding workers come before billionaires. No school, no work, no shopping. And if you must go to work, as I must, you wear a black armband, as I will. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. We got a lot to talk about today. Why haven't Republicans done anything to help working people in over 40 years? Also, why are oil executives warning of a catastrophic price shock at the pump and big oil pockets obscene profits while working people bleed? And is Netanyahu, well, that's all in the first hour of the program. Also, is Netanyahu helping Putin loot Ukraine? Holy cow, an amazing story here in the second hour. And a bait and switch? Whatever happened to the private donors paying for Trump's gilded ballroom? Oh, is that money going into Donald's pocket? And hypocrite alert, when Trump, Melania, or a Republican tells Kimmel or a lefty to tone down the rhetoric. Yeah, right, share this, stay tuned. And in our third hour, our single guest for the day, Alex Lawson, is going to drop by. Hospitals that take the sickest patients are starting to close. We'll find out why. And also, Democrats lead the polls, but voters are begging for new blood within the Democratic Party. We'll talk about that in the third hour of the program. So, an awful lot to cover today. My daily take at HartmanReport.com is, I think one of the juicier ones I've done in a while. It was inspired by a conversation that I had yesterday. A young fellow called up and said, you've been doing this contest for years where you offer an autographed book to anybody who can name one piece of major legislation that was created by Republicans since Reagan's presidency that passed the House and Senate with majority Republican votes and was signed into law by a Republican president whose major beneficiary is the average working person. And when you insert the word major before the word legislation, people found a few minor things, but basically nobody's won the contest. And I've been running this contest for over 20 years. So why? It raises a question. Why is it that for over 45 years now, Republicans have not introduced a single piece of legislation that helps the average person? Not one. Or at least that helps the average person more than it helps billionaires. You could say, well, the tax breaks help me. Maybe you got, a few drops, but, the big package went to the billionaires, as you know. And since 1981, the Democrats have passed the Family and Medical Leave Act, the Earned Income Tax Credit expansions, the Children's Health Insurance Program, the Affordable Care Act, the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform, Consumer Protection Act, the American Recovery and Investment Act, Every Student Succeeds Act, American Rescue Plan, Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, the Inflation Reduction Act, the PACT Act, and dozens of others. Which raises the question, why is it that Republicans have avoided doing anything at all to help average working people for more than 40 years? And I think it boils down to one thing, and I'll explain that in just a moment. But just, these are the questions that people call in and ask, and I'll give you my answers, too. Why do Republicans fight free college and ending student debt when our experience after World War II with the GI Bill shows that for every $1 we invest in educating our young people in college, we make as a country, we make an additional $7 back as a result of increased tax revenue because educated people make more money. Why do Republicans fight free college? Because the GOP is on the take from the banking industry, which, it makes billions in profits from student loans. Why do Republicans fight every effort to have a national health care system like every other democracy in the world has? Because the GOP is on the take from the insurance industry. Why do Republicans sabotage green programs designed to get America off our dependence on fossil fuels when fossil fuels are destroying our atmosphere, destroying our children's future, and cause tens of thousands of cancers and hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of cases of asthma and other diseases every year? Because the GOP is on the take from the fossil fuel industry. Why do Republicans fight breaking up monopolies, even though the average American family spends $5,000 a year more than the average Canadian or European family because we allow monopolies here in the United States and have since 1983? Why do Republicans fight breaking up monopolies? Because the GOP is on the take from giant monopolies. Why do Republicans fight letting Medicare negotiate prescription drug prices, even though every developed nation in the world allows this? Simple answer, because the GOP is on the take from the pharmaceutical industry. Why do Republicans oppose expanding Social Security benefits and protecting the program by lifting the payroll tax cap so billionaires pay the same as you and me? Simple answer, because the GOP is on the take from Wall Street. Question, why do Republicans battle against universal paid leave and family sick leave, even though every other advanced democracy in the world has this? And it reduces the spread of disease. You don't want a sick waiter coughing on your plate before they bring it to you. Why do Republicans battle against universal paid leave? Because the GOP is on the take from low-pay corporate employers. Why do Republicans oppose raising the minimum wage, even though productivity has soared while wages have stagnated? And the corporate owners are richer than at any time in world history. Well, because the GOP is on the take from giant retail chains, fast food corporations, and other low-wage employers. Why do Republicans fight food assistance programs like SNAP and universal free school lunches, even though childhood hunger damages learning, health, and lifetime earning potential? And research proves that these programs are among the most efficient anti-poverty investments any government can make. Well, the answer is simple, because the GOP is on the take from billionaires and low-wage corporations. Why do Republicans fight stronger gun safety laws supported by large majorities of Americans, even including things as anodyne as universal background checks and red flag laws? Republicans oppose those because the GOP is on the take from the gun industry and its lobbying arm, the NRA. People ask, why do Republicans oppose cracking down on tax havens and making billionaires pay what they owe, even though it would reduce our deficits, it would pay down our national debt, it would fund schools, roads, and health care? The answer is very simple, because the Republican Party is on the take from billionaires, hedge funds, and multinational corporations that bankroll their campaigns. And then finally, why do Republicans so frequently use hate and fear, from Willie Horton to Trump's anti-trans ads to hysteria about bathrooms, to win political campaigns? And why do billionaires and corporations fund such advertising? And by the way, apropos of this, we just learned today that the Republicans have haven't publicly released it, but it's leaked. We now know the Republican strategy for the elections that are coming up in seven, eight months. They're going to go negative. They're going to go back to bathroom bills and trans, people and immigrants and open borders and all this other BS that they try to shovel at us. Why do they do this? Because this kind of campaigning is so powerful emotionally that it causes people to forget how the GOP has been screwing them for the past half century. Which all brings us to the largest question, which is, how did it get this way? Why is it that for 45 years since the Reagan Revolution, Republicans have refused to produce even one single piece of legislation that helps the average person, while handing $38 trillion to the morbidly rich, borrowed from us in our names as the national debt? Why? And the answer to that is very simple. It goes back to three Supreme Court decisions, three corrupt, all-Republican Supreme Court decisions, Buckley versus Vallejo. That wasn't all-Republican, but close. First National Bank versus Bilotti. It was 76 and 78. And, of course, the big one, Citizens United in 2010, which has exploded billionaire and corporate spending on our elections. And until we overturn these obscene and corrupt Supreme Court rulings and get big money out of politics and make Congress answerable to us instead of their donors, the Republican Party is going to remain what it has been since the Reagan Revolution. It's not a political party with ideas to improve America and working class people, but it has become a wholly owned subsidiary, a front group for billionaires and giant multinational corporations, while Americans die young and remain uneducated, underfed, and unhoused. It's very simple. And saying, well, they're doing this because the Supreme Court legalized it, of course, doesn't mean that it's okay that the GOP is doing this. It's just crazy. It's just crazy. We need to fight back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
We need to overturn Citizens United. We need to change the composition of the Supreme Court. And we need to seize control of Congress and the White House. Stick around. And welcome back. Joe in Seattle. Hey, Joe, what's on your mind today?
All good. good morning, Tom. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, Trump fires all 24 members of the U.S. National Science Foundation governing body.
That's right.
To limit, to eliminate independent oversight of science research. And
I would go beyond that, Joe. I would say not just to eliminate independent oversight, but to eliminate the people who are promoting federal funding of science, because this is the body that oversees the federal grants.
Right. And one of the articles I read, I have to totally agree with them, that they want to replace it with mega loyalists with AI. And that's primarily going to be Palantir, SpaceX. They want to control the whole narrative.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about the AI part, but there's no doubt in my mind that you're going to see Bob Kennedy stacking, you know, or playing a role in stacking that board, or people like Bob Kennedy, you know, people who, you know, who have no training in science, no training in medicine, you know, lawyers or just, you know, wackadoodles. And, you know, that's the way we're going to go. Yeah, I think it's a crime, Joe. I think it's a travesty, and it's getting nowhere near enough attention. You know, instead
the king is here. Right. That's what I wanted to point out. And I don't believe in coincidences. We've had 11 or 12 scientists just mysteriously disappear.
Yeah, it turns out that when you look at the number of scientists we have in the United States, first of all, only one or two of those people have actually mysteriously disappeared. Most of them have died. And when you look at the number of scientists in this country, it's actually not an anomalous number. But I get it. Joe, thanks for the call. Dave in Federal Way, Washington. Hey, Dave, what's on your mind today?
Hey, not too much, Tom. Remember we were discussing how world events are similar to World War One?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll be honest with you. Like, last week, I'm kind of glad my call wasn't taken on another show because— Morning Joe was talking about how, you know, the Republican Party has, under Trump, has socialized a lot of these companies. He was mainly talking about the airline that they were buying, and then listed a bunch of others, right? But even Joe Scarborough said socialize. Okay, you use the word socialize.
Well, socialism is, one aspect of the classic Marxist socialism is when the government owns the means of production.
Yeah, and he was getting very close to a point that I've given up on trying to make, that MAGA is more like a nationalist socialist movement.
Yeah.
And I'm glad because, you know, it's incendiary rhetoric if you don't. One time I said it on an academic basis, and then that's when I decided I'm not going to bring it up anymore because it's not fair to bring it up.
Well, you know what's really ironic, Dave, is the Nazi does stand for national socialists.
The first
people that the Nazis went after were the real socialists. They just wanted to appropriate the good feeling that was associated with the word socialism.
Right. And I think, you know, MAGA's kind of doing the same thing. But anyways, there's been this discussion about how Canada might replace the United States as the leader of the free world. Now, this is a lot like the demise of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. And if you look at, like, the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand, say, well, that was just terrorism. I'd advise you to look at what's going on in Mali right now and what the CIA is going to end up doing to Iran.
Yeah, what's going on in Mali is a mess. Dave, thank you. Well said. Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. I have 8 suggestions for Democrats for messaging. Democrats seem to have a messaging problem right now. First, Democrats must frame the fight in simple moral terms. Don't be wonky like, hey, we need to expand social safety. No, say no child in America should go to bed hungry. Second, Democrats need to stop playing defense and instead seize the populist high ground, like when FDR said, they are unanimous in their hate for me and I welcome their hatred. Third, ruthlessly define the Republican opposition and the morbidly rich oligarchs who own them. Fourth, tell stories instead of facts. This is, I mean, Reagan did this with a black welfare queen. He had to lie about it, but we've got lots of great stories. That's number fourth. There's four more, and they're all over at HartmanReport.com. The title of the article is, If Obama Had Sent a Mob to Kill a Cop, Republicans Would Never Let You Forget It. And it's all about how Democrats can reinvent their messaging to start winning elections big. Check it out. Amazing stuff. Why are oil executives warning of a catastrophic price shock at the pump? And big oil pockets obscene profits while working people are bleeding. A senior oil industry executive has a message for America. The pain at the pump hasn't even started yet. Dan Pickering, the chief investment officer at Pickering Energy Partners, told Politico that when summer driving season hits, gas prices will deliver a shock that hits people in the face. Seriously. His exact words. It will be painful. With Trump's Iran war dragging on and the Strait of Hormuz still choked off, oil and gas executives are openly furious at Trump's market-manipulating happy talk. They warn another spike is coming around Memorial Day. National gas prices have already jumped from $2.94 the week before the war to nearly $4. And some experts now predict $5 a gallon gasoline is coming. Trump's war of choice is bleeding working families dry, and oil experts know it. Who's making out like bandits when you pay $4 a gallon? The world's 100 biggest oil and gas companies. They pocketed more than $30 million in windfall profits every hour during the first month of Trump's Iran war. That's the Guardian's analysis. The biggest winners are Saudi Arabia, Saudi Aramco, Kuwait Petroleum, and ExxonMobil. If oil stays around $100 a barrel, big oil will rake in another $234 billion in war profits just this year. Patrick Gailey of Global Witness calls it Christmas for fossil fuel companies. He's right. They sit back and watch their profits multiply while ordinary people pay the price. Greenpeace and climate groups gathered this week in Santa Marta, Colombia, demanding governments tax these obscene profits. Every American driver is funding big oil's biggest payday in history. And that's really the bottom line. I mean, it's just, it's absolutely obscene what is going on. Basically, we've handed our economy over to big oil. This was, you know, Donald Trump got together with all these oil executives back, what, a year, 2 years ago, when he was running for president for the third time, and said, give me $1 billion and I'll do anything you want. And he did. They did and he did. I don't know that they gave him $1 billion, but they sit and gave him hundreds of millions of dollars. And the outcome of this is that we now have a mess. I mean, just, you know, the environment is, we've got, they're talking about, you know, the AMOC, the great conveyor belt, this warm ocean current that keeps Europe temperate and helps the United States crashing, you know, collapsing. It's insane. It is just absolutely insane what is going on here. And now the UAE, by the way, just pulled out of OPEC. That's effective this Friday. They're pulling out of OPEC. And people are wondering why. Well, first off, the UAE has been having conflict with Saudi Arabia. Part of it happened when the UAE was, when Saudi Arabia and the UAE were both going after the Houthis, and then the UAE kind of dialed back on that. Part of it has to do with the UAE wanting to sell more of their fossil fuels, their petroleum products, in Saudi Arabia. You know, having had such a huge head start and building up wealth, and, you know, their sovereign wealth fund is massive, it's trillions of dollars, that, you know, OPEC have been constraining their sales. But I think, and I've not seen any commentators talking about this, and, you know, I'd love to get your thoughts on this as well. I think what's going on is that the UAE is realigning itself away from the United States. Now, keep in mind, I believe it was the UAE who invested the several hundred million dollars in Donald Trump's crypto company. And when they did that, when they gave Trump a couple hundred million dollars, Trump gave them these advanced AI chips that are not supposed to go to any country outside the United States. They went to the UAE. And the UAE has a strategic defense, reciprocal defense agreement with China. So those chips, which we're now sending them, these skateboard-sized AI chips that nobody else is supposed to have, in all probability are going from the UAE to China, or at least the Chinese engineers. I mean, China's in the UAE are carefully examining them, shall we say. So I think the UAE is saying, you know, this alignment with the United States that Saudi Arabia did and Israel did and Dubai, you know, Doha did, we're not going to do that anymore. Now, this is just my speculation, but I think the UAE is going to shift their loyalty to China, and they're already halfway there with this military partnership that they've developed that none of the other countries in the Gulf have, to the best of my knowledge. So, you know, if anybody out there, I realize we have the smartest listeners on all of radio or television, so if anybody out there has any further thoughts on that or knows anything more about that than I do, I'd love to hear from you. Got a lot to talk about. It's 27 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
It's the place where smart people get their news. Stick around. We'll be right back. Executives warn of pain at the pump. Big oil rakes in $30 million an hour. Republicans flip the ballroom bill onto taxpayers, and America shuts down on May Day. Good morning. This is the Commonwealth Report, news for the public, not the powerful. You can sign up for free at commonwealthreport.news. Why are oil executives warning of a catastrophic price shock at the pump? A senior oil industry executive has a message for America. The pain at the pump hasn't started. Dan Pickering, chief investment officer at Pickering Energy Partners, told Politico that when summer driving season hits, gas prices will deliver a shock that hits people in the face. His exact words, it will be painful. With Trump's Iran war dragging on and the Strait of Hormuz still choked off, oil and gas executives are openly furious at Trump's market-manipulating happy talk. They warn another spike is coming around Memorial Day. National gas prices have already jumped from $2.94 a week the week before the war to nearly $4. Actually, it's over $4 now nationally. Some experts now predict $5 a gallon. Trump's war of choice is bleeding working families dry, and the oil bosses know it. Big oil pockets obscene profits while working people bleed. Who's making out like bandits while you pay over $4 a gallon? The world's 100 biggest oil and gas companies pocketed more than $30 million in windfall profits every hour during the first month of Trump's Iran war. That's The Guardian's analysis.